We are blessed to have people in our church that not only serve in kids ministry on Sunday, but are teachers during the week too. And so they have giftings that I do not have. And I appreciate them and what they bring to this team. All right, so I'll begin again. Today is part three of our Ripple Effect sermon series, and we have been going systematically through what I believe is a way of not only creating ripples in our lives, but starting from the center of those things that are most important, and then moving out to the next level, and then the next level out. In a lot of ways, it's like the Great Commission, right? We go and we preach to Jerusalem, Judea, and then the rest of the world. So there's this kind of systematic expansion of what we do as Christ followers. So the first week we talked about our thought life, and my phrase that I gave you that week was, it's the thought that counts. So say, it's the thought that counts. All right, it's a thought that counts. And so it's not necessarily a Hallmark moment, right? The thought that counts, sending a card. But know that our thought life is the basis for everything else that we do. And if we get our thought life right, if we be able to clean that up and renew our minds the way the scripture has, then that begins to have ripples in our lives, not only in our own life, but in our families, in our jobs, in our community, and even our perspective as we look at everything else in our lives. And so we change the way we think. And after we change the way we think, we begin to focus on our prayer life, right? Our prayer life stems from our thought life. Even our prayers are based on how we think. If we're thinking that God is good and gives good gifts to those that he loves, then we pray in accordance to his will and his word, knowing what that is. And so one of the things that I shared was Joyce Meyer's thing, have you gone to the throne before you went to the phone? Have you gone to the throne before you go to the phone? So remember, we want to go to the throne room of grace. We're told that we approach boldly the throne room of grace. And so we need to know that that's available to us all day long, 7 days a week, that we can go and bring our concerns to the Lord. And so before we begin part three today, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, O Lord, that you are creating ripples in our lives, God. And as we hold fast to you, that these ripples become greater and more to your glory, God. They're positive ripples and not negative ripples, God, so that we want to do everything in accordance with your will. Be with us as we hear this word this morning. Be with me as I share it, God. May hearts and minds bear fruit to the truth of what is in contained within. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this week, if you've looked at your bulletin, you know that we're going to talk about love life. This is the next ripple. It's your love life. Everybody say love life. All right. So now, before you think I'm going to have a marriage seminar today, let me just say right out of the box that that's not going to be the case. Although it might be helpful at some point. The love life that I'm talking about here is twofold. It's how we love one another within the church and how we love one another outside of church. How we love one another inside the church, the body of Christ, and how we love one another outside the church. That's your love life. That's how we live and love and create ripples in our lives. So first, how we love one another within the church. I'm going to give you a little history. Ready for your history lesson today? Okay. At no other time in the history of Christianity did love so characterize and permeate the entire church as it did really in the first three centuries. Roman society took note. Tertullian, speaking about his Roman neighbors, stated, "It is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See how they love one another, they say, for they themselves are animated by mutual hatred. How they are ready even to die for one another, they say, for they themselves will sooner put to death." How about Justin Martyr? Justin Martyr sketched Christian love this way. "We who used to value the acquisition of wealth and possessions more than anything else now bring what we have into a common fund and share it with anyone who needs it. We used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country. Now, because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies. Clement, describing the person who has come to know God, wrote, "He impoverishes himself, out of love, so that he is certain he may never overlook a brother in need, especially if he knows he can bear poverty better than his brother. He likewise considers the pain of another as his own pain, and if he suffers any hardship because of having given out of his own poverty, he does not complain." When a devastating plague swept across the ancient world in the 3rd century, Christians were the only ones who cared for the sick, which they did at the risk of contracting the plague themselves. Meanwhile, pagans were throwing infected members of their own families into the streets even before they died in order to protect themselves from the disease. See how they love one another. They turn the world upside down because of their love for one another. And maybe you've heard these words before. I'll read them from the Message. This is John 13, verse 35. And Jesus says, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other." So the first ripple effect, the first ripple that we're going to talk about this morning is how we love those that belong to the family of God. For us here at Sanctuary, it means those that call this church home. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be here all the time. But honestly, we have a lot of people that call Sanctuary home. For those that are watching online, that might be another place local to you, or maybe other Christ followers in your life, those people that you know are following Christ. So here's a question for you. Is it optional? Yeah, the answer's no, right? If we go back to the scriptures, he says, "Let me give you a new command." It doesn't say, "Let me give you a new suggestion. Let's talk about what you could do." "Let me give you a new command to love others as I have loved you." So why is this so important, and how does it create a ripple effect in our lives? Well, number one, this allows relationships to deepen, creating a depth in the membership here at Sanctuary. The more we invest in one another, the deeper the roots will go down. Not that we are keepers of the aquarium, right? We're not here to keep people in the church. But we want those that are part of the family here at Sanctuary to stay here until God moves them, not to get lost. Have you found someone here at Sanctuary that you are intentionally building a relationship with? Have you found someone here that you are intentionally building relationship with? Are you waiting for someone to reach out to you? Now, here's the thing. You need to be intentional. Developing friendships is sort of like dating. You know, when we're kids and we are immersed in public school systems and teams and that kind of thing, becoming friends and acquiring friends is kind of like a default experience in a lot of ways. You're surrounded by people, you're bound to find one person that you can kind of get along with and you make a friend with. As we get older, creating friends in our lives is like dating. It's like you have to find somebody that you think you might have something in common with, maybe invite them over to dinner, spend some time, get to know them, and it's kind of an awkward dance. You have to find people. It's risky. Say it's risky. It's risky. But we want to be those people that are reaching out and being intentional in developing relationships. Building relationships is a two-way street. If you find yourself alone or you haven't met anyone here at church, I would put upon you that you need to be intentional to reach out and develop a relationship with somebody else. Again, if you are somebody that comes here in a long time and you know that there's somebody that you've never really connected with, it's time to connect with that person and find out more about them. Be intentional in developing your relationships. Number two. We need to look beyond what we see in the natural and look at our church family with the eyes of Christ. So that means Even if there are things in someone's life that you disagree with, even if you have disagreements with somebody, even if there are differences, we are called to love. We are called to love. There might be things in somebody's life that you would not agree with. Maybe you say, Pastor Debbie, I don't agree that you should have a tattoo and I'm not going to develop a relationship with you. All right, you are absolutely, you're okay to have that opinion. But it doesn't allow you to say, I don't want to develop a relationship. It doesn't allow us to pick and choose. Right? We need to love on the family of Christ because Christ loved us. 1 Peter 4:8. Most important of all, you must sincerely love each other because love wipes away many sins. Another translation, it says, love covers a multitude of sins. If we have the eyes and the passion of Christ, we will love regardless of what we see in the natural. Because in the spiritual, we have to have the eyes of Christ. He loves each and every one of you exactly the same. If I'm going to follow Christ, how can I not do the same? It's risky, it's difficult, but it's not optional. If you don't invest in the body of Christ, it's like saying, I love Jesus, but I really don't like his wife. And so I kind of want to spend time with Jesus, but not his family. Jim Cimbala said in The Church God Blesses, possibly the greatest spiritual deception we can fall into is to think we really love the Lord while having little concern for his people. Those that have been Christ followers a long time should be developing relationships with those that are newer in the faith. And not necessarily, there's two levels. Okay, there's two levels. There's people that are newer in the faith. If you know somebody has just recently come to faith, even in the past 5 years, I've been a believer for 20 years, I want to invest in somebody that might have been a believer for 5 or 10. Because what I have learned in my journey can benefit that person. I am discipling somebody, right? Discipling is the other part of that. It's just loving on people, is discipling them, bringing them into a deeper relationship with Christ. Who are you investing in? I went to a network meeting, and there was a gentleman there that's in the process of writing a book about discipleship, and he drew the analogy of pickles and what it takes to make pickles and and making disciples. And actually, when he publishes this book, we all should read it together. It was a phenomenal analogy. But in advance of that, one of the things that he said is, when you look around the church, who are you investing in to come along behind you, right? So I'm 53. What I need to do is look back and say, who's 40? Who's 30? Who's 20? Who's 18? Who are the people that, if I look in different age ranges, who are those people that I'm developing? Who are those people that I'm pouring into? If your answer is none, then that needs to change. We need to love on the family of God. God has brought us here for such a time and place as this. And if you have anything to give, you need to give it out. If you can claim salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, you have something to give. And we are called to pour into the next generation. Amen? You're all not smiling. Amen, Pastor Debbie. Yes. All right. In addition to what, hang on, I got confused about my notes. This is 3. I put 2 numbers in the same, that's why. All right. So we have deepening relationships here. Need to look with the eyes of Christ. Number 3, this is a huge witness to those outside the church. How cool would it be to have the reputation that Tertullian had said, right? See how they love one another. What we do within the walls of this church actually has an effect for the people outside of this church. The life we lead within this church is the first level of contact some will ever have. Do you talk about your church? Do you share some of what you hear? Do you use social media to promote your church? Are you promoting this place because of the relationships that you have in your heart? Is that everyone would be a part of what is happening here. That's the evangelistic part. If we are developing those relationships, right, that first level is that we pour into people here and solidify these relationships, how much more would you want other people to share in the same blessing? To know that we have a church that loves one another, right? That's something that multiplies. I'm going to be honest with you, church family. Not everybody's on Facebook, but I know there's a lot of you that are. And you're social media mavens, or patriarchs, or whatever. I see more about what people eat than what they're being fed. What we need to do more of, and this is even for me, is promote Christ through promoting the church. Did you hear something good in service today? I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Don't, that's not even close. All right? But if God speaks to you, do you share it? Do you repeat it somehow? Do you say that, do you invite people? Like if we have theater camp and I've made an event and a flyer, have you taken that flyer, that image, and shared it with somebody? Have you put it out there and invited people to come? Our theater camp is one of the greatest outreaches that we have within the body of Christ. We use the arts to teach them about the gospel. This year, like I said, they are writing. I'm going to have them write what they present. It's going to be cathartic for them, and they have no idea. And if you take the time to promote, how many more would come? When you're having coffee with somebody, do you say, oh my gosh, church yesterday, I love my church. Now, I'm just telling you, to be real, our witness matters. And in the same way, do we complain? Right? We have negative effect ripples and positive effect ripples, right? If there's something that you don't like, you go right to the person that you don't have something that you don't like, and it doesn't go outside this church. Amen? If you don't like something I say, you could come right up to me and say, I need to talk to you about what you just said. And I would be happy to do so. If somebody offends you in this church, make it right. Matthew 18, go to that person. Do not go outside the church and complain about people within the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen, amen. That wasn't even in my notes, but Holy Ghost, I'm going to trust. I had a conversation with somebody in our neighborhood a while back, and actually it was right when we were getting home from church, and he drove by. And he happened to mention that he loves to watch a certain TV pastor online. So my question to him was, you know, that's great. There's a lot of good that's being done through that particular ministry. And I said to him, what happens when you experience a crisis in your life? What happens when you experience a crisis in your life? Will that TV pastor come and pray with you? Will that person come and sit with you? Will that person come and minister to you, help you through? Now that's what the body of Christ is here for. So if you come across people that are watching online and watching, you know, I listen to sermons and podcasts, but I don't come to church, I would question them in love. The body of Christ is there to minister to you. Be part of that. It's not just me that's there to do it, but the whole body of Christ, the living and breathing body of Christ. Ephesians 4:12 says, Christ chose some of us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers, so that his people, here you are, right, would learn to serve and his body would grow strong, right? It's to enable you for works of service, to reach out. My job is to help you and equip you to be servants and ministers of the gospel. So what does this look like? Peter addresses this in his first letter. 1 Peter, this is chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And I'm reading from the Message translation. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer, right? We talked about that last week. Stay wide awake constantly in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God has given you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, encores to the end of time, oh yes. All right, we do everything. We live our lives to the glory of God. What are you doing that would give glory to God? Is your witness one that is loving within the church and loving outside of the church? And we love as Christ loved us, sacrificially. Now, I have heard this before, and I've probably said it myself. I don't have time. Have you ever used that excuse? I don't have time. All right, again, I say this in love. I would say you need to take a good hard look at how you've constructed your life. Make time. Make time. If you love Jesus, you will love like he does. Right? It's sacrificially. We release some of the things that we have a hold of and give sacrificially. Make time. There's no such thing as a solo Christian. We live our lives in complement with other believers and people outside. All right, so that was first. That's how we love one another. Good? Number two, how we love the world. When questioned by the religious elite of which commandment was the greatest, Jesus stated in Mark 12, the most important one says, "People of Israel, you have only one God, one Lord and God. You must love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." The second, most important commandment says, love others as much as you love yourself. No other commandment is more important than these. Did Amber just pop out? And Nick's downstairs? Okay. All right. No other commandment is more important than these. And it's probably the greatest ripple effect that we can have is how we love others outside the church. Remember, we can have a ripple effect either positively or negatively. How we interact with those outside the church will cause a ripple. You just have to decide what kind of ripple it's going to be. And if we are loving, if we are speaking truth in love, if we are reaching out to those outside of the church, it means that we cannot be salt kept in the salt shaker, right? We're supposed to be salt and light. And oftentimes we think that we're just going to keep our salt in the salt shaker. We need to get out into places that are uncomfortable. This is why I love JG. Those girls are in places that are completely uncomfortable. But they are being salt and light. Amazing. Talk to Libby, and I know they'll tell you. Two nights ago, she goes, our team have had 509 salvations and over 30 healings. Because they go in faith, believing. They're like in a little petri dish of faith. And that's, in a way, that's what we need to be for one another. You know, if there's a need, if there's a healing that needs to happen, do we believe and pray? Do we go right to prayer? Do we believe in faith that God is going to heal? Or do we just say, oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. That must be really tough. No, we believe that God is going to heal. He's our healer. They have faith to believe. The last one, Libby said, was somebody that received their hearing in their ear. No, it was their eyesight. Woman was blind in one eye, and they prayed, and she goes, I think I see a little light. And then they kept praying, and it got increasingly better. Eyesight back. And I bet you think they're sitting there going, really? Right? Because we have become so cynical in our lives that we might not even believe that these things are possible, but they have the audacity to believe in faith. What kind of a ripple are you going to make? What are you going to do? Are you going to get outside and get outside of your comfort zone and be able to minister to people that don't look like you, don't sound like you, don't smell like you? There's so many that need the gospel. Hey, Amber, can you do me a favor, honey? There's a video to play. It's on the far right-hand side. Just click it. It goes unlike is what the word it says next to it. Now, we watched this, I think, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Cameron had wanted to share it when she was talking about JG. And as I was preparing this message, that's all right, I was reminded of this. And I just want you to know that this video shows what a negative ripple can look like. So just take a look. Go ahead, Amber, that's perfect. What is your witness? How are you loving your neighbor? Are you like Christ? And here's something that we have to get over sometimes. The truth is that we can only love others as we are able to love ourselves. So the first level of self-love is to accept the love as God is displayed through Jesus Christ. Right? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved. And the thing is, we have to begin by accepting and receiving the love of God through Christ. That's the first level. And oftentimes we are operating under woundedness that we've not submitted or committed to God. And I know for me, it was the hardest thing to accept that God loved me. To truly accept that Christ sacrificed on my behalf. Because I knew myself. I knew what I'd done. And I knew I was unlovable. But God. Amen? But God. And it's that sacrifice, that righteousness that we have in Christ, we have to accept that first. We have to accept that first. So I would ask that you soften your heart and receive, truly receive that love for you today. And begin the greatest ripple effect of all, and that's the ripples that will last through eternity, to receive the gift of Christ and knowing that you have this love relationship that can go on through eternity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then I would pray that through even this, you know, it took 12 to turn the world upside down. Just 12. So it's not impossible to believe that those here gathered in sanctuary can turn our own communities upside down. It's not impossible to believe. We know who our God is, right? Is anything impossible for God? No. But we need to know that we have committed that to him first and foremost. And then I would pray that a Google search like that, that ripple effect would be, you know, why are Christians so humble? Why are Christians so loving? Why are Christians so giving? Why are Christians so self-sacrificing? Because we want to be a place where people are drawn by our witness within and our witness without. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, oh God, that you have called us as your own, Lord, and you've given us a command, God, to love others. And Lord, we don't take this lightly. It's not always easy, God. So we come before you, Lord, asking to give us the mind and heart of Christ. And that, God, we would be able to see others as you do. I pray, God, that if our time has become a stumbling block for us to be able to get outside ourselves, that, God, you would rearrange our schedules, if not voluntarily, but involuntarily. That, God, you would just mix things up and that our schedules would become yours and not our own. And that, God, we would make time for those people that so desperately need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would sacrifice our time, we would sacrifice our money, we would sacrifice all that we own for the sake of the gospel. Everything that we have is yours. Everything that we are and everything that we have is yours, oh God. And we commit it to you, to the work of your kingdom today, oh God. I pray, Lord, that from this moment on, the ripples that we send out, God, would be positive ones. And that God, the witness from within this church and outside of this church, would gather those from the farthest ends, God, that want to be a part of something that you are a part of, that you are the head of. God, just be with us as we continue to just wrestle with these things, God. I know it's not always easy, but Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful. So strengthen us, encourage us, be with us as we are the hands and feet of Christ. Give us your heart and give us your mind. In Jesus' name, amen. So may you be filled with all of God's fullness. And may you have the mind and the heart of Christ. May you walk with commitment. When you feel in touch and when you feel out of touch, walk by faith and not by feeling. Resting on his promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God and let God's peace dwell with you today and always. Amen. Amen.